I think Christopher Nolan can retire. This film, Spider-Man Far From Home, is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God, I nearly had a heart attack.
I thought he was going to do an I, Tonya on us.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
This is kind of a first. We'll be talking about a sequel without talking about the original one first.
Yeah.
Oh, true. Homecoming.
This is also the second time we touch on Spider-Man. Our Spider-Verse episode was recorded some time ago before this one.
Yeah, very good film.
Yeah.
So the Spider-Man Homecoming came out, and one of the things that was interesting about it is the number of writers. The screenplay, you had 6 names and 2 names for the story by.
Yeah.
Did we mention it on a podcast? I feel like, I know we didn't do it, but I feel like it might have come up in conversation, or maybe it was off screen.
We spoke about it because we talked about how if you have more than 2 writers usually, or 3, well, 6 writers plus 2 on the story, that of course you're going to have a film that doesn't mesh together all so good.
I do remember a conversation about us saying it felt like different bits.
You know, exactly.
There was like the romance bit, there was the fighting bits, there was the vulture bits, all these different, there's Tony Stark bits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember.
And they didn't come together.
Yeah. But I don't remember what episodes we did that on.
Yeah.
This one is Far From Home, so that's the follow-up, the sequel. Well, the only 2 of the writers that were a screenplay by in the previous one are kept.
Is it the guys that did Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah.
Chris McKenna and Eric Sommers.
Apparently they did that film, yeah.
I've never watched any of the Ant-Mans yet.
No.
Here's the thing, right? I realize I'm saying that having watched 2012, and they say that all the time. I've just realized that. That's where I get that from. Good series we've talked about before. Anyway, with where we are now, we're in a post-Marvel phase. We finished phase 3.
With this, yes.
Is this the end of phase 3?
Yes.
All right. I thought this was the start of phase 4.
I thought, but I checked. That's what on the slate right behind, between Anouk and I right now behind, it says Marvel phase 3 ends. Yes.
Right.
It's the end of the Infinity saga, which was phase 3.
So this is a problem then, because it doesn't feel like that to me.
Right.
The fact that Endgame and Infinity War are such these behemoth films, whether you're into superheroes or not, there's a really large expectation left after both of those films.
Well, looking at video, I said a while about Spider-Man, but some non-spoilery ones, there is a large shadow overseeing this film, Tony Stark, which was part of all the previous phases. So in a sense, I guess it would make sense. But the previous ones obviously look like the end of something. I'm not entirely sure this one looks like the start of a new thing.
No.
It's maybe a bastard thing between the two.
I think it sounds like that, because also I find the release dates really strange, because you have Infinity War, where Spider-Man dies. Well, the blip. Apparently, this is what they call it in this film.
Why did they change it to the blip from the snap? Because nobody saw Thanos do the snap. They just called it a blip.
He snapped, but I don't know if they called it the snap.
They call it the snap in Endgame. For sure, they call it the snap.
Even like layman. Like people who aren't in the superhero world.
I mean, they might have mentioned it. It's probably in the scene where Captain America has like the survivors meeting. I think they might have said it's been so many days since the snap. I don't know.
By the way, while we're on it, so it's not Foggy, that's confirmed.
Oh, yeah. Looks like the actor. It was bizarre.
It's maybe one of the directors, one of the Russo brothers, was in that meeting.
All right.
Ah. Okay.
And what was it? So before we forget, spoilers for this movie and probably plenty of others in the MCU.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll write that in.
Yeah, I'll have a big
because there's
S.
No way that you can do this without spoilers. But anyway, so you have Spider-Man dying and he comes back in. Oh, crap.
Endgame.
Thank you.
Portals.
But then very soon after Endgame, you have this film and Tony Stark is dead, Spider-Man is back, and he has his own movie. And I remember when the trailers came out, they kept the before the trailer, they had to say, oh, spoilers for Endgame if you haven't seen it. So it's like, so why didn't you just wait until Endgame had been done and then wait a few months? I know that money and contracts and things, like, this is a business, but I felt like the release dates were really wrong. And this, I think this point has been made a few times when, because this is all quite new for everyone, like the blip and people coming back and, you know, Endgame ending, it's weird that Spider-Man has kind of come back and his life, you know, is sort of starting again. And Tony Stark just died for us. But then this film, it's like 8 months later. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, I think for audience members, it's a bit like too soon.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like we haven't processed how dreadful this would have been for the families, the blip on everyone's like school life and education. Like, I don't know. It just felt a bit like we haven't had time to process. And because they've already processed for 8 months, it feels a bit like we're both in very separate worlds.
Yeah, but there's also this thing that you fall from the horse, you have to get back immediately or else you'll never get back. I guess the Marvel stuff has to stay in people's minds, so they keep coming back for the 25 ones that are coming.
I mean,
I understand.
Do you guys remember that they brought out trailers for this after Infinity War?
Yes.
Like, this was out, and they were like, everyone was like, so Spider-Man's alive, and then there was kind of a thing floating around, like, oh, it must be a prequel thing.
Exactly.
Because they didn't want to believe it. But I thought that, I honestly, if they'd done a prequel, this was events just before Infinity War happens, the tone of the movie would work, but the whole plot wouldn't, because the whole plot is basically about filling the void afterwards of...
Right, and we know...
A post-Avengers world.
Really. Yeah, and we know that in Endgame, Tony Stark dies.
And Captain America, well...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to the world, Captain America dies, because he's Steve goes back to the past.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, no, I specifically remember that.
And Black Widow.
Yes, yeah, I forgot about her. Yeah, I guess, though, I'm not, like, a huge fan of, you know, the comics, and I wasn't brought up on this, so I don't have this nostalgia value, and I haven't seen Iron Man, so I feel like maybe my opinion isn't relevant to most people. Most people would be like, oh.
Well, it's a different view, because the thing with superhero movies, there's so many takes, because there's so many different perspectives people come at it at. So
yeah, and I guess I didn't come into the film wanting to love it, so...
You know, my sister always says that for her, although this is so far removed from reality that she doesn't care. Iron Man clearly was the most grounded. Like, everything could happen. It's like in Glasgow, in your backyard. Well, you'd have to be in Afghanistan and stuff. But I think very grounded.
I do think that's because of the times, though. 2008 is very close to Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises. I mean, Batman Begins is 2005, so we're in this world of grounded superheroes. So I think that back then you had to have a very grounded world, because that was what was successful, and it's what really separated. I mean, if you look at Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, they're like half and half, I would say. Like, they're grounded, but they've got a really action comic booky feel, you know, like the way he flies around the city and stuff. You know, it's a mesh of both. It's not Dark Knight, like, where are they? Like, everything is dark, real, 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 real. But Iron Man had to jump into that void. And it's where Justice League also fell down as well, because, you know, they tried to do real, but we're in a world where Marvel kind of brought it half back, you know, like, yeah. It had a bit of reality, but it wasn't afraid to be more superhero-y. I mean, look at Thor. I mean, a world that whole Asgard and that Thor won compared to the reality in Iron Man, you know, they weren't afraid to go away, and that's what makes Marvel movies stand out now, is that their own feel. They've managed to escape the ultra gritty world that the Dark Knight trilogy brought and mold themselves into the superhero genre.
I guess that's where Spider-Man fits in, right? Because he's always like Peter Parker, friendly neighborhood Spidey, like always, you know, with the quick quips and making jokes while he's fighting. And, you know, he's like a teenager. Like, did he say he's 16 in this one?
Yeah, he did.
Which is crazy because Tom Holland doesn't look 16. And I think he is 23 in real life.
Yeah, 20, yeah, yeah, around that, yes.
So, but I mean, that's okay. He's supposed to be young and sort of lighthearted and less cynical and gritty. So I guess that fits into that world, as you were saying, Adam. Mm. What did you guys think about the beginning in memoriam?
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten about that whole bit.
Yeah, so I'll be honest. But I thought... These points are interesting because it says that it starts off lighthearted. It makes you laugh at the grief or in the face of the grief. But then the whole way through, it's like a really real gritty, grief-stricken Peter Parker that we see the whole way through. And he's actually really like connected to Tony Stark still, and that, and Tony Stark is, as Jan said, like a huge shadow over the whole film, right? Mm. So I think I understand that they want to alleviate the pressure of like intense grief, but do you think that that made it a bit too lighthearted? Like they didn't really care?
Because it froze itself as like the terrible school news channel thing. It's like you can accept it for being like cheesy or bad, which makes sense because it fits the tone of what that would be made. But if we're talking in the whole film, it didn't address, and I'd forgotten that's how Endgame worked, that they didn't like undo the snap, as in like they went back to before the snap happened and everything carried on as normal. Like the 5 years passed and everybody else came back. I'd completely forgotten that's how they'd fixed it in Endgame.
Yeah.
Which didn't really come up in the film. They talked about, because when the film sums up the blip, there's like, that didn't really happen for them. And I'd forgotten that the 5 years passed. Like, I saw people got older. I was like, how did they get older? They were gone. And then days later, I'm like, oh, it's the other way around. It's the people that were still here got older. And the people came to the future.
And it's duplicate about the blip because the Peter is into MJ and there's this guy who was way younger and now is 5 year older and he's also into her. And
I did see the guy that Nuke was listening to this morning say it was awfully convenient that all the main characters in this film were affected by the snap. I was like, oh, that's that's a good point. Because obviously that for actors' age, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, that is a good point.
It's a logistical thing that some movies would try and explain.
Okay, so to get into hard spoilers now.
Mm. Oh, well, okay.
So I think as an audience member watching movies, I pretty much succeed in suspending my disbelief, but what I should also try to do is to override my internal clock, because a bit like what I experienced in Creed 2 and Aquaman, something happens major in the middle of this film. And so essentially the structures that we studied, so that you have an equilibrium, then, oh, inciting incident and a journey that goes to the turning point and then second journey to the climax and then resolution.
Mm-hmm.
When you are being sold that there is this major menace by Quentin Beck, like the elementals and everything, and that is resolved exactly in the middle of the movie, you know that something is afoot there. Which makes it, I was a bit confused and annoyed because I knew it was in the middle and not towards the end. So I had the exact same problem with Creed 2 and Aquaman. But it was maybe counterbalanced thinking about it afterwards with the fact that for the first time ever in an MCU movie, we heard actually Mysterio talk about the different Earth, so 616 and 837 was the one he talked about. So that's when I heard it. That's the first time we hear about that. I know about that a bit. I'm not a comic fanatic, but I know that the main continuity in the comics is Earth-616, right?
Mm.
And obviously he's actually lying, because the MCU is not the same continuity. There is actually a continuity for the MCU, which is Earth-199999. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. In the
okay.
When the DC have only 52 universes, there is an infinite number in their Marvel, and the MCU has its own one. So that's what could potentially have the. I think the Defenders and all that are another of those verses. So if stuff happens at some point, they'll be switching between multiverses and stuff.
Whoa, okay.
Well, that's a really complicated way. When you were talking about that, I was like, oh, that'd be cool if you could get Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland. That would be cool.
Well, even though we did have at the end J.K. Simmons coming back.
Yeah, we did.
I agree with that. That doesn't count.
But I do think that's very weird that Marvel have got, that's now, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is a world and the TV universe is a world. Even those two are not in the same world, even though they mention events from each other. I'm sure that comes up in the TV series about the Avengers.
The TV series is only the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is entirely in the same universe, because sometimes you had like, you knew about Hydra taking over S.H.I.E.L.D. in the series just before. There were some crossovers.
I'm sure I remember some point in the Daredevil that they mentioned the events of the first Avengers movie, but maybe they've changed that in retcon, and that show's now cancelled anyway, so it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's way too confusing for me.
Well, it depends if they are included in the MCU. I don't think they are, but
right,
anyway. Everything included in the MCU is the Earth-199999. It's not me saying no in German. It's just a one and five times a nine after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, I mean, my brain doesn't work like that, so I'm super blown right now. My mind is blown, not I'm blown.
It's almost like this film, people have got so much expectation coming in because of not only Endgame, but the Spideyverse.
Yeah.
You know, now the multiverse has been mentioned and worked pretty well in that film, people kind of want it to come into the cinema in the Marvel films. But it's like, we've never really set, we've talked about this before, about setting your goal lines, you know, like you start, as Jan said earlier, incite something at the beginning of your film, you have to pay it off by the end.
Of course.
And they've not done that at all in the series. The multiverse has never been mentioned till now.
Right.
In a Marvel verse. And even then, it was not true, because it was part of the lie that Quentin told them at the beginning. So it's like, so they haven't really mentioned it.
And the trailers are selling you this also, which I think the only trailers I'm watching now, actually, because they know what they're doing, are the Marvel ones, but like the earlier ones, not the ones the month and close to release, because they are not spoiling, but they are playing with your mind, so I'm not crazy about that. So I just watched the first ones,
okay,
and all the other trailers I just don't. Just as I said, I won't.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I respect that. Of course, as a non-comic book lover, and my knowledge is like nothing.
Comic book reader, then, because you like comic book films and you like the video games, like the Batman series and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure, but I'm not diehard, so there are loads of holes in my knowledge, and there are loads of films that I haven't seen. I didn't know that Mysterio was a villain. But of course, if you've read the comics, you, as soon as he came in, and I'm sure that the film changed certain things and there's different universes, as you said, but like, I'm sure as soon as people like sat down to watch this film, they knew that he would turn out to be evil, right?
If you played Spider-Man 2, the video, I always go back to Spider-Man 2, the video game. There's a great levels with Mysterio and with the illusion stuff, because I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know any of this stuff about the villains. And my knowledge of coming into Spider-Man was the Sam Raimi films and the Spider-Man 2 video game. Like, that was my entry point for Spider-Man. So I knew that he was a villain because of that game.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah,
I actually played that game,
and that's why I really liked the illusion stuff in this because it reminded me of I remember these in the game.
Right.
By doing it the way they did it, they are grounding the whole thing again back to reality, just like Iron Man, probably, because multiverses. Well, scientists, like, you know, I mean, here in the real world, I've been elaborating theories for years, but there's no proof of that.
Sure.
Besides the fact that, obviously, in that universe, you've got Captain Marvels, which is, and Spidey, who's been beaten, so it's a bit fantastical, but pretty much the rest, the whole Mysterio thing is believable. That could happen, again, next door in Glasgow.
Well, it was a bit like, I haven't seen Iron Man 3, but isn't that just like the Mandarin? Like he was an act. It was an act thing.
The second one was but the third one is the Mandarin.
Yeah. So it's not the first time in the Marvel world that we've kind of gone with a guy who's faking the whole powers thing.
Oh yeah.
Even though in the comic, I'm pretty sure he's an illusionist or something like that.
I've no idea.
I might check that just
like a failed magician.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think they could have had a lot more fun with the illusions. I guess that wasn't the main plot line, but I kind of hoped there'd be more fun with the illusions or Mysterio's little world.
There's an article on Quora by a guy called James Henry explaining about those numbers. So Marvel Comics gives the various realities an assigned number. In an early issue of Captain Britain, it was established that the main Marvel universe is designated with 616. They don't always give a new universe a number, but for the most part they do. As of now, there are approximately 15,000 named reality in the Marvel universe. The vast majority of these are throwaway realities, either one issue or less appearance or sometimes just a casual mention. And a large portion of these have also been destroyed. So,
Fair enough. Quentin Beck is a failed actor, but a gifted special effects artist.
Nice.
So that's what the whole point of it, right? Like he worked at Stark's Industries, and he's a disgruntled ex illusionist. What's it called?
Scientist.
Yeah, but also worked in special effects, right?
Yeah, you just said so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, that's not for this movie. That's the character of Mysterio, if he's an actor.
Yeah.
I think he's a scientist because they build like the tech.
Yeah, but in this film, he talks about how he's a disgruntled ex-member of Stark Industries.
Yeah, as a scientist.
Yeah, who helped create the...
As a scientist, okay. Yeah. I read on Wikipedia that they call him something else.
All right.
I'm not making this up.
No, I'm not saying you are. I just thought he was a scientist.
Yeah, I think he is, but I think he has like a special affinity with special effects, which is where the illusions come from.
Okay.
It's not just something that like, oh, did you just look on my phone?
Yeah, because I don't have mine on me.
No, fine.
Right, while you're doing that.
Did you?
Oh, sorry. You got a point, yeah.
Did you watch it in how, like 2D, 3D? How did you watch it?
I haven't watched something in 3D in years.
No.
Overrated 3D, man.
Okay, this sometimes now there are two major 3D stereo conversion studios, Legend 3D and Stereo D,
mm-hmm.
And now it happens more and more that both are actually working on movies, which happened here.
Right. So is it shot in 3D?
No, it wasn't.
Right.
It was converted stereo converted afterwards.
Right, I see.
But by two different studios.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Beck is revealed to be a former holographic illusion specialist at Stark Industries who was fired for his unstable nature, now leading a team of disgruntled ex-Stark employees and using advanced projector drones.
Oh, I just thought he was a scientist.
That's what we have in the movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
He wasn't just a scientist. There's a reason why he uses illusions as Mysterio, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that was my point. Sorry,
nice.
Go on.
That is just one thing that you might be annoyed by if you stay all the way up to the post-credits scene. If you haven't seen Captain Marvel, it won't speak to you at all.
But we didn't stay. We just saw the J. Jonah Jameson bit and went,
yeah, Jameson, well, the mid-credit one was essential to the film. It was, more of a continuation of what happened in the story rather than standard mid-credit scenes.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, it was basically like there's a continuation, right? Like the next film will be based on these things. And it was totally like grounded in that. It was like, this is going to happen. This is pretty much a trailer for the trailer for the next film. So it's almost like, you know, because I guess like, I know not everyone has watched Stranger Things 3. I'm not going to spoil it. Don't worry.
No, thank you.
Don't worry. It's like, but also loads of things do it. Like there's an open-ended, but it also could be not open-ended, right? Like it cleverly says both.
Years and Years did that. Was it Years and Years it was called?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like we could do another film or a thing, or we could not, which is probably easier for, you know, the production companies to discuss afterwards what they want to do. But this almost felt like they'd made a decision already that this was what was good, because that wasn't open-ended at all.
Yes.
The
very end post scene.
Yeah. It was like, this is what, and it was huge. It was like, okay.
It was bigger than most of the things that happened in the movie.
Well, actually, sorry, but I'm more excited about this next film than I was watching that for this film, a bit of a shame. But I was like, actually, like, oh, I literally left saying, I'm really excited for the next one, because it was kind of the only thing that spoke to me.
I wonder if anyone ever did that at the end of the Saw films. Oh. Like, oh, I can't wait for number four.
I don't.
Actually, not four, because obviously the end of three is his death.
I don't know, but actually they'll make a next one, because Years and Years... Russell T. Davies said, nope, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people will never know what happens.
Which works, because it could go either way.
Yeah. Exactly, which is a clever thing, I guess. But so basically there will be another Spider-Man, I'm sure.
But, well, yeah, it makes so much money, so they're obviously going to be.
Of course.
In the next phase will supposedly start with Black Widow.
Oh.
I don't know if I care anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have any dates for those.
The thing is with...
I don't think we have.
There's going to be a collapse, right? There has to be, because there's no way everything goes on indefinitely forever. Like, there has to be a... Whoa.
Oh, so when do you think it will happen? Is that what you mean?
Well, I don't know if it's definitely not this one yet, because as much as this is like... All right, so let's go back before we get to there, because this sounds like more talking about the end of the episode. So let's address. We've talked a little bit about Mysterio, and we've talked a bit about multiverses, but let's actually take apart what the film is, right?
Right.
So it's Spider-Man or Peter Parker on a school trip, and how do you balance Spider-Man and events going on and being, you know, the common, I want to be Peter, but I've got with great power comes great responsibility.
Sure.
Jazz.
And right. I mean, that's even said in the film.
So let's take that apart. So,
yeah,
the beginning of the film. I don't know if I missed something, fell asleep or lost consciousness or something like that. But you know how a lot of YouTube channels will play the trailer over their commentary because they can't show footage from the film because it would spoil the film. There's a scene in the trailer where he's in the suit from the Infinity War fighting a bunch of bad guys. Was that seen in the film?
Oh, I'm not focused enough on the actual suits to know what's
well, like this, out. You know, the before he goes away on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever fight anybody?
Because
I know he went to the meeting of the homeless people and turned up. That was the first thing we saw him in the suit, right?
Yeah.
So that scene wasn't in the movie. And there's also another scene where he goes to the passport office. Was that in the movie?
No.
No. If I'm not wrong, the movie is they meet in the school, we're going on holiday.
Yeah.
Then there's a couple of other scenes, then they go on holiday. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
It felt so rushed to me. It was like, right, let's get going. We've got 2 hours and 20 to go here. We gotta get abroad. Come on, Spider-Man, come on.
I mean, I guess in this new technological world, maybe people think that we all need action, 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 action. And if, you know, anything that is less than action is a dip in the energy, which I kind of disagree with, because I think the human connections that you have in certain films are really important. And I think that's what makes a really good film.
Mm.
Like you have to have the human like journey, which is why I think the Peter Parker Spider-Man thing really works, because it's not just he's a superhero that you have nothing to relate to. He's actually just a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so that's probably why it's such a important and successful character. I'm guessing that's what they were doing. They were thinking that like, oh, our audiences want action, 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 so we're just going to rush through to get to that like meat of the film. But
because there was a little bit of stuff, you know, like the whole, well, there's one scene where she throws a banana at him, and that's the foreshadowing that his Spidey sense, sorry, his Peter tingle isn't working. I don't know why that annoyed me a little. Like, just call it his Spidey senses. Like,
that's already been established.
There were some sort of jokes in this film. You're like, you're just making these jokes because you're trying to be funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, humor that's like, that isn't really funny, but in the context of a comedy, I'll laugh.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Because sometimes you're like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if something's lighthearted and you hear something kind of funny, you go.
I've heard that in one review. Like, there's some slapstick added just for a comedy.
Kicks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's lazy writing, though.
Yeah, or just humor that doesn't land with certain people. It could be either.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole way through, I was like, maybe if I was a little younger, I would enjoy this. Like, I don't know. I guess if you're going into a cinema and you just want to enjoy yourself and you have your popcorn and your Tango Ice Blast, which isn't there anymore, sadly.
All hail the Icy.
Oh yeah, Icy is back. You kind of enjoy this film, right? Because it's like entertainment. But as a film, it wasn't great.
Like there was we went quite early on. I think we went the day after it came out. So that we were sat. I was a good experience actually, because you were sat next to people that were clearly Marvel fans.
Oh, and they were having the time and they were having of their life.
Yeah, they were loving it. Absolutely. Literally, loving it.
Every single joke was...
Oh, wow. All this, like... And I love that. You can just... They've got this thing that they love and they've been waiting for and they've been excited for, and they'll see it multiple times.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was... Yeah. But I just didn't have that. And I mean, I guess it kind of rubs off on you, right? Like if you're part of an audience that loves something, you're probably going to enjoy it more, because it does rub off on you. But it is one of those films where you enjoy it while you're watching it. But as soon as you leave and someone asks you, what did you think? You're like, no, it was terrible.
Well, I tried to watch Homecoming the other day and I found myself skipping through scenes.
Yeah.
I did find myself going, I don't need to see this bit. This bit's fine. I can go for it. Whatever. Like,
I actually asked you guys if we'd done Homecoming as an episode, and which doesn't, you know,
doesn't feel you were confident, doesn't it?
No.
Did we do that one?
Did we actually do it?
Because no, I don't feel think like we didn't
I,
do it.
Well, I feel like I spoke about it because it was the same thing. It was just something like flat.
It's interesting. Do you think that's because we've already had two other Spider-Mans already? You know, like we've had Sam Raimi, we've had I didn't really watch the Andrew Garfield, but there have been other Spider-Mans. And at this point we're comparing Spider-Mans.
So I disagree, because I think Andrew Garfield was a total unsuccessful Spider-Man.
Well, clearly, otherwise we wouldn't have Tom Holland.
Yeah, of course. And I'm happy for Andrew Garfield, because he's kind of found his own thing. Like, he's an incredible actor, but he wasn't Spider-Man. That was a miscasting, right?
Mm.
So I would never compare those two. And it's not Jake Gyllenhaal, sorry. It's Tobey Maguire. I get those two mixed up all the time. Tobey Maguire, the Raimi ones. That was too long ago for me to compare Tom, and totally different films.
I'm not saying compare. I mean, I'm just saying exhaustion from us, because we've had so many. We're going, oh, I've seen this kind of thing before. Or is it to do with it? Because I think there's a major pacing issue in both of the Spider-Man films. And I don't understand why it's happened twice. They've kind of had the same problem with pacing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the pacing was tough, and I think things that could have been amazing just weren't invested in enough. I think the Illusions could have been a lot more fun. I think they could have had a lot more fun with Mysterio and Jake Gyllenhaal's character. The Tony Stark death thing, I think they could have had more fun with. And even like blowing up London, like, I don't know, it just felt a bit like, I've seen this before.
Well, it wasn't London Has Fallen, is it?
I'm bored. Like, we've
seen this in Doctor Who 25 times.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's always Tower
The drones,
Bridge.
Like, that's a Doctor Who thing.
I did laugh. That's one joke that was quite throwaway, but was quite good, that he came in and said, it's Tower Bridge. I've looked up with London Bridge. People get that wrong. I'm like, nah, son, that's not a bad joke.
That is good. And I think Londoners would find that hilarious.
Yeah. There was a joke that we started, everyone in the room started laughing. Oh, that's it. The joke where they go, everyone loves Americans in Europe. And everybody in the cinema just started laughing.
I found that hilarious.
That was a good joke.
Well, that was good because as Europeans or the British, we're kind of known to hate Americans. So it was kind of like, do Americans think that we love them? And I bet they do.
Probably, yeah.
So it's also funny.
That's also, I think that's the first MCU movie that is not entirely happening in New York. I read that somewhere. They're actually generally going on vacation, which is nice.
Didn't Civil War do that? Civil War was in Germany, wasn't it?
Just a bit.
Oh, maybe it's like it started there.
Sokovian Accords and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That wasn't... Okay.
And it was an entirely fictional place, anyway.
Sure. Yeah. I saw it was like they actually went to Italy, like they filmed in Italy.
I thought it was
London.
I thought it was the same house that they used for Casino Royale. You know, at the end of Casino Royale, when the building collapses
in Venice, yeah,
it looked identical to that building.
Yeah,
because when they got off the gondolas, because you know they got off the gondolas to get there. I'll put my thing about Casino Royale to the side before. Every time they went to a new place in Europe, it was like, here's a stereotypical shot of what this place looks like.
Yeah,
like when you got to Venice, it was the airport in Venice. I was like, what? Every sort of image you could think of Europe was there.
I guess, though, like, us being in Europe, we know what Europe looks like. But I guess if you live in America, this is, like, a huge world away, right? So I understand why you... I mean, I don't in this day and age because, you know, there are planes. Like, you can come to Europe and it doesn't have to be so stereotypical. Yeah. But I understand, like, how that could happen.
the moment I noticed it was in Austria when it was, like, just the peloton coming up the hill. I'm like, oh, of course, because it's the mountains, the Tour de France, there's all the cyclists. I'm like, oh, guys.
I find it hard to beat the levels of Independence Day, right?
With the,
yeah.
We've got French, so there's baguettes, bicycle.
Bicycle. And of course, taken in the morning and taken the guy coming down on the bicycle. We talked about that in the... With
you know, and the hot blonde with the thick Russian accent in the leather.
I thought she was, sorry, the European accent?
European accent.
I thought she was German.
Do you know what? I actually hate when people say European accent, because what the fuck is that? Like, that could be anything. It's a little bit like people saying, oh yeah, you have an English accent. It's like, do you know how huge? That's 90 million people.
Is that a British accent? Wow.
It's like, both me and Adam have British accents. That's how, like, different British accents are. It's the same thing with Europe. It's like, oh, you're from Europe. It's like, do you know how huge Europe is?
Yeah, because Europe could mean anything. Because French and German accents are very close, aren't they? Or even,
different country.
Or Spain, or...
And I guess we do it because it's like, oh yeah, she had an American accent, and like, oh my God, America's huge.
But fair, you're right. We do the exact same. America, every state has their own distinct accent, as does Britain, as does France.
And they're so different.
Yeah. Everyone does it.
Even in New York, you have different accents everywhere.
Queens to Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah, exactly. Manhattan. So we do it too, but yeah. I feel like Europe is hilarious.
Because it's so huge.
How did we get... Oh, yeah, stereotyping.
That was a side note off of the building in Venice, which was fine.
It was just because it's a bit of fluff, it's a bit of fun, right? Like, they're not... Of course they're going to stereotype the whole of Europe.
Did you enjoy the like school trip aspect of the film?
It, I guess it wasn't really deep enough to know what really was going, like, what were they on a trip for? Science?
They said it was a science trip.
Yeah, what does that mean? Why do you need to go to Italy, Venice? Oh, sorry, those two things are in the same place, sorry.
Prague. Feeling your geography test here, yeah.
Italy, Prague, Paris, London. What?
The Netherlands, he ends up at some point.
The Netherlands.
Just for the one scene.
Yeah, but that's because he was...
And then he's wandering through a field of tulips because he's in the Netherlands. I'm like, right, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he's in a tulip field.
I mean, that was really funny. It's like, oh, you're in the Netherlands. Everyone's really nice.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, wants to speak to you. And, of course, everyone's, like, churning butter because that's what we do. And, like, working in the marketplace and speaks really good English. It was just hilarious.
According to Eurovision, it's the Polish that butter churn. And if you get that reference, good on you.
That was, whew.
Yeah. That.
Even Jan got that and he doesn't watch, he just like give vague, Jan's a Eurovision fan, he's just lying to us the whole time.
Yeah
no, I watched some past videos, yes.
Oh, yeah, dear. I mean, that video I think everyone's watched because it was ridiculous. Just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It feels, there's a definite disjointedness to this film. Like people might say it's like Spider-Man, but he's trying to balance his work life while he's on holiday. I'm like, yeah, I get that, but we don't really get enough of the balancing the holiday. You know, it's like I'm on holiday and then immediately when everything goes wrong, the holiday's over for him. He's like, I've got to go to work. So there's never the real super balance. But then again, it comes on its head at the end where his friends are in danger that he has to go and save them. I mean, I get that too. But for me, it just felt a bit over the place, you know?
I felt like the stakes weren't really high enough. I didn't really understand Mysterio's whole deal.
Or the elementals.
And he wasn't very scary. Do you know, like, and also the elementals were scary in the beginning, maybe, but then they were like, oh, it's a projection. So it all just seemed a bit funny. Like, he uses projectors.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt a bit like, okay, this guy isn't scary.
I don't know why they didn't make Mysterio the outright villain from the get-go.
Yeah, why did he have to be his friend? Because he had to get the Tony Stark Edith glasses, right, okay.
Which were like a MacGuffin.
A little bit.
They were a bit MacGuffin-y, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, do you remember this?
Do you remember his super cool sunglasses? Well, actually, his sunglasses were a weapon. It's like, I never thought that Tony Stark's sunglasses were a weapon, unless they came. I haven't seen any of the other Iron Man 2 or 3, unless they come up in there that they're weapons.
Oh, but I think in Infinity War, what's it called? Infinity War, doesn't he use his glasses once?
I can't remember.
I think I've definitely seen that there are, you know, like his glasses aren't just sunglasses, they're like a whole Stark industry thing. Mm. I think maybe it might have been better if Mysterio was a villain from the get-go, because I guess it just took too long for them to establish that he's a nice guy and then establish that he wasn't a nice guy. It was like, you're taking too long, like, why don't you just, like, from the beginning.
Like, wouldn't it be like he's on the school trip and Mysterio is like in these different places in Europe causing havoc and he's like, they're like, Spider-Man, we need you. He's like, but I want to go on the school trip.
I guess.
You know, you could replace the elementals with Mysterio, which in effect, the film does that. Because it comes out that the elementals are an illusion and it's all been a trick so that he can get like, to be the new king of the new Tony Stark, and like people will listen to him, king of the humans
of the hill, of the
king of the hill,
of the jungle.
Yeah, he can be king.
King.
I feel like that might have made more sense. I quite liked what they were trying to do, like making Peter Parker out to be, you know, this kid and he makes mistakes, he has to learn from them, like he has to grow up a bit, you know, like he
don't trust strange. Yeah, don't trust strangers with high weaponry tech.
Yeah. And it just felt like Jon Favreau just wanted to be in this film for like no reason. Like,
John,
I don't know.
John needed a new house extension.
Yeah, I don't really know why Favreau was in this. Like, I love him. Like, don't get me wrong, but
maybe
his character was just nothing-y.
Maybe his appearance in this film paid for the Chef TV show on Netflix.
Possibly.
It's like, I'm doing a new TV show. Okay, I'll come back for Avengers. I'll come back for Spider-Man.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, he's done a TV show because Tom Holland and Robert Downey Jr. are in that show. He's like, it's basically Chef the movie, but it's a TV show.
Oh.
Not as in like plot wise, it's like making food. It's a cooking thing.
Ah, okay.
Right.
Okay. Mm.
But it's called Chef because obviously he made the film and he was in the film Chef.
Yes.
Right.
That's the lead there. Just interesting in terms of filming in different places and public domain and all that. I specifically saw something interesting in the credits. So essentially, if you want to photograph, well, and share or film the Eiffel Tower, it's fine. Because it's been there for a while, so it's fine. But if you want to do that while the lighting is on, you can't. So they actually credit the golden lighting thingy that happens. So it's either the whole tower with white stuff that is blinking and plenty of wiggly things, or a golden thing at the top. And they actually credited, they must have paid to actually be able to use the Eiffel Tower, the illuminated Eiffel Tower.
Sure, yeah. Oh God, there's so much. Mine. Yeah, licensing stuff is so much going on. Mm. Again, it was a film that was enjoyable while you're in the cinema. But if someone asked you what it was about, you'd probably hesitate. You know.
We went for lunch afterwards.
Yeah.
And we had a really nice lunch.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Anouk turned to me and went, do you remember the movie? Because I know what it was. We were eating lunch and a bus came past with like the terrible poster where they're all looking in the weirdest directions ever.
Can I just say also, the quality of that poster, it's almost like it comes out the 1950s. Like, if it was based in the 1950s, fine, that would make sense because you were like making a joke. Ha ha ha. But it was almost like, but it's not. It's based in like 2019. So why the terrible quality and the photography? Like, surely they have enough money.
Yeah, I would assume so.
It's terrible.
I'm sure there's a Marvel war chest somewhere with God knows how many billions in it.
Yeah, of course. It's so bad. Mm. It's such a bad poster. I don't understand.
Do we feel we have any more opinions or facts or feelings?
I do have a kind of an anecdote to talk about. So in the film, his best friend, Ned, right?
Yeah.
Somehow gets into a relationship with another student.
Very quickly.
I have a similar vacation romance story to tell.
Oh, go for it.
On a school trip.
Nice.
So we went to, in my primary seven, so the year before you go to high school, so about 2008. Yeah, it must have been 2008 because I went to high school the same year. So it was in the beginning of the year. We went to Luxembourg. I later found out probably the reason that the school went to Luxembourg is because our headmaster moved there at a later date. So I think that every time we went to Luxembourg, he was just looking at properties of where he's going to live, which was interesting.
Hilarious.
Anyway, on the school trip, this person had sort of a boyfriend before it started. this was when the Nintendo DS was out as well. So in the Nintendo DS, you could go on like, it was like, I think it's called Pixel Chat or something like that. It was basically like a local messaging thing you could do by drawing on the touchscreen, the stylus, and write messages and stuff. And if you were close enough to DSs, you didn't need like Wi-Fi or anything. You could just connect to local devices. So everyone on the bus would be like using it and stuff. Anyway, through Pixel Chat, me and this girl decided to go out, but she had a boyfriend that she started out in the school trip.
Adam, you're terrible.
So she got rid of the boyfriend.
Whoa, what?
On the trip, and we started the thing.
You're in demand, Adam.
And we were kind of together for the whole trip. And there's a story that actually does involve the cinema in this. So we went to see Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crystal Skull. I got charged twice for popcorn because I went out with, like, I paid for it. And then I went out. And then I came back in again and they charged me again for the thing because I didn't know. So I got charged twice for the popcorn.
Poor thing.
But anyway, we were sitting next to each other in the cinema and she, like, basically held out her hand. And I, as we've talked about being Adam Oblivious before, didn't know what that meant.
Oh, please don't say you gave her the popcorn.
I gave her the popcorn.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I gave her some popcorn.
Oh my God.
Anyway, afterwards when we were having dinner, one of my school teachers came up to me and said, Adam, there's a valuable life lesson to be learned here. I'm like, yeah, what is it? She went, when a girl holds out their hand in the cinema, they don't want popcorn. I'm like, okay, thanks.
You didn't learn, did you?
Well, I don't know. We didn't. If I'd been funny, if I'd remembered that the first time we went to the cinema and you held out your hand, I should probably have put popcorn in it.
Yeah, you should.
Just for that story.
It's like, oh, still oblivious.
Anyway, so that happened. And much like in the film where they break up when they arrive, we got back the week later going to school. One of our friends came up to me and said, yeah, it's over. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Aww.
I don't think I was that bothered. Maybe a little, but like, okay. Because I was primary 7. Anyway, that happened. That was quite funny to me to watch, like a vacation romance, because I'm like, yeah, that those happen on school trips. That's good.
That's a story for another t-shirt now, because we've got VOD now. We got AOD, Adam on Demand.
Adam on Demand.
Adam on Demand.
No, definitely no. Definitely not.
Ned's girlfriend is being played by Angourie Rice, who you probably remember from the film that actually kickstarted this podcast. She was in The Beguiled, and she was born on the 1st of January. That's quite nice to be born on the 1st of January's day.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're kind of nice. Screwed because they're Christmas, and yeah, you get either double the presents or just once.
Well, I've got one mate born on the 24th. I've got one mate born on the 26th. So
yeah,
December.
So. My friend's born on Christmas.
Oh,
and I've got a friend whose birthday is on New Year's Eve.
I'm really expecting, probably if I have kids, I'll make an effort to make sure that the first one is born on the 29th of February. So just like dogs.
4 years. A leap year. Mm-hmm.
Dear.
Well, it never works out as planned when you're having kids, so probably
won't.
No, of course not. No,
especially because it's not like 9 months. Boom, you're giving birth. It's like sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's more than 9 months.
Yeah.
So that's some learning tips for everyone out there.
So there you go. I thought I'd share a story to say I quite liked that plot line because I was like, oh yeah, that happens. And I was laughing.
It was also very sweet because it's like this, you know, when you're in this like short relationship and you're like, oh, now I'm so much wiser than before. I've learned so much from this relationship.
I'm now a man.
Yeah. I was a boy. Now I'm a man. Like, that's really cute. And I really like that actor. I think he did really well.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit forgettable. I guess that's how to conclude all this feelings, like
very forgettable.
It's funny because there are other things we could definitely talk about, right?
Right.
But we don't want to.
Yeah, it's a that's bit a
real that's a real problem for a film, right?
Because
we could talk about the him and Zendaya, where she was a great. I liked the performance and the dynamic with them was good.
Yeah,
we could talk about the whole Tony Stark kind of overshadows the whole film. He's still in it, even though he's kind of dead. But I mean, it makes
so,
and there's all yeah, you know, and there's the whole Happy and his mom and the fact that I'd missed the scene that she finds out that he's Spider-Man in the previous film, so there was that dynamic. And
yeah, I had no idea that she knew
Aunt May.
Yeah
it's I think it's at the very end of one, maybe it's a mid-credit scene, and Peter is on the wall on the ceiling, and then he falls down and see that the door is open and she is what the f-, and it cuts up before she says that.
I remember that now. But I've forgotten that scene.
I guess, but this is the thing, like, you don't want films to treat you like idiots, right? But or you also have to balance this thing of like, you don't know when the last time your audience watched the last film or how like connected they are with the universe. Like, I understand if you're making like, you know, a film for the fans, you expect them to know every tiny detail.
Mm.
But then again, this felt like this wasn't for the fans. This was for, you know, to fill every seat.
Sorry, my microphone has fallen over, so I have to hold it for now. It's falling off the stand.
How sad.
Sorry, I've totally interrupted you there.
No. I was just saying that, like, I don't... So maybe that's what I mean. Who was this film for?
I don't know. People who are...
People? No,
people who... All the people!
They had their closure after Endgame, and now they're ready to get away from the MCU forever, but no!
Papa John's fans, because it's sponsored by Papa John's.
Oh, yeah, which Papa John's is disgusting. Even though maybe I shouldn't say that because they might be...
Hey, you know. Papa John's was the best of the three pizzas me and Jan had, Football World Cup episode 2018. Yeah.
I also realised that we have like a huge American base, and I've just taken the whole episode to just slate America. So I'm really sorry. Like, I don't mean anything by it.
No. We're not got any more. Anyone that joined for our opinions from Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse thing, yeah, they like Spider-Man. And then,
I know, I'm sorry.
Like, I like this movie. I'm like, it's, you know what? When we get to the rating, you'll be surprised, but there are definite flaws. We're looking at this, because I remember we're creative people looking at this. We're not comic book aficionados going like, yeah, I love this. I did spot one Easter egg though, which was the poster for the Crusher, which was the guy that he fights in the Sam Raimi film, you know, the fight match when he gets his powers.
Oh, that's quite
nice.
Which
is a comic thing. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool.
But
yeah.
And I guess on the back of the success of when Spider-Man holds the train back, well, he's like shooting the webs to the building in front of the train and stops it by... I think they did that a few times here. And I think that was a little bit of a like...
Yeah, like you did that with the when the boat was cut in half. That kind of dynamic, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure they always do that because it's like a nod to the beginning of, you know, the Spider-Man films that everyone like loves and cherishes. But I don't know. I just feel like it was slightly forgettable. And so... they kind of made a bit of fluff, I guess, to make money, which is a shame because was that too harsh?
No, it's your opinion. It's not too harsh.
Yeah, but sometimes I go off on one.
It's not me going off on a wing and a fly, is it?
Do we want to go right now into the ratings?
Och, I didn't ken that. I wish there was an och, I didn't ken that. Yeah, sure. So, Anouk Jan was Spider-Man Far From Home. Good, bad, or just plain standard? Anouk?
I think this was standard.
Ooh, is this your first just plain standard?
Yeah.
Wow. Unless you put Jumanji. I put Jumanji in, but I don't know if
you
did.
I probably put Jumanji in as well. And it's funny because the next Jumanji trailer looks exactly like the first one. So it doesn't fill me with any love. I think the fact that I was so invested in what the small trailer for the next film shows how much I found this film so standard. And the fact that I'm using words like fluff and forgettable, I think that just goes to show that it didn't try anything new. I don't really know who the audience was supposed to be and how invested you are in that universe. Like, they didn't really care. It just felt like they wanted money. And that really sucks because Spider-Man is one of my favorite characters.
Mm.
And there have been amazing films, and I love the games, and I love watching you play the newest one, the video game. I feel like it was, which is interesting though, because I feel like Homecoming was also pretty standard too.
Mm.
So maybe this is just a good wrap for a standard franchise, which is just a shame because I love the acting. I think the acting is great. And I have no hatred for Tom Holland or Zendaya at all. It's just something is just off about this. And yeah, I kind of have no love for it.
All right. Yeah.
I think Christopher Nolan can retire. This film, Spider-Man Far From Home, is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God, I nearly had a heart attack.
I thought he was going to do an I, Tonya on us.
No, a reversed one. Yeah, I was. That's the same word I had in mind. Not necessarily just plain standard, but definitely standard.
Mm.
Without the shadow of a duped. Yeah, standard. I see no point in going to see it again, essentially. No. So.
And I actually didn't watch Homecoming to research this one because I actually couldn't stomach it. It would be like watching season 8 of Game of Thrones again.
Oh, that's bad. I told you the mic stand is.
It's a good job we actually decided to film this because, look, hey guys, there's a mic stand. The mic stand has fallen off. The wood is worn down on our little stand here. So,
oh no.
I'm going to have to stand like this.
Very Freddie Mercury-esque.
Yes, exactly.
It's like I did it in Jesus Christ Superstar for the end. I had a thing like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like walking around like that.
Mm. Aww.
Like this. Hello, listeners. And
so, Adam, what do you think?
This will be a video thing. Right, let me get the audio just so it's like, okay. This is so ridiculous. Right. Is it a clean sweep for standards? I mean, yeah.
Oh, no.
I was thinking it was enjoyably good, but very low good. But this isn't even John Wick good, right?
No.
Which we kind of retired the phrase John Wick good, but you're right, it is standard. I mean, there was something we brought up in a previous episode about if we didn't have the unlimited card, would I want my money back? Which I don't think I'd want my money back, but I would feel I'd been shortchanged.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fine, but I feel because I'm not really into the Marvel universe, really. I mean, I enjoyed Endgame and Infinity War, but I didn't feel like I had to watch every single one to enjoy those films, and I don't think I could. And I'm not going to die on my sword for that this franchise, you know, like, oh,
great phrase.
Or as Lindsay Ellis put in the Game of Thrones videos we watched last night, the sunken cost fallacy. Yeah, you know, like, I love Marvel so much that I can find that I love this film, even though there's some considerable holes in it. It's a shame because I think it's one of the best portrayals of a Spider-Man villain for a bit. I really enjoyed Mysterio's illusions, and I'm annoyed that if he'd been the main villain the whole way through, we could have had a lot more fun with that.
Definitely.
And it does make me excited to see what they can do next with Spider-Man villains. But like Anouk just said, you were more excited by the end of the film than you were throughout the film. And I feel that this will be the one that people go, oh yeah, there was that one. You know, like,
yeah, oh, there was that one.
There was mm-hmm. Far From Home. Like, and it's weird because you see Rotten Tomatoes, like, it's got a very high critical score because, you know, it's fun and enjoyable and it's a summer blockbuster and people will see it. And it's received well because there's a massive fans for it. But if we're honest and take it from where we're at and where we see all these holes and this, you know, from our perspective, it is standard. You know, it's kind of what I had in mind when I said just plain standard. You know, films that, well, the criteria for just plain standard when we explain it to guests is like it didn't try. We for a while we've been saying, you know, like Ghostbusters 2016, which we decided was unrateable. But I think Jumanji is a really good example of just plain standard. They know it'll make money because there's loads of people in it and it's a recognizable product. This is a recognizable product with good people in it and some good ideas, but it doesn't do anything to stand out with what it's got. You know, it's not like pushing the boundaries. Like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse went for it because it loved its source material and wanted to do something new with it and tell an interesting story, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's a good film. So if we'd said that this is good and put it in the same category as that, is unfair to Into the Spider-Verse because it's a far superior film. So with that regard, this is standard. And I think a film like this, we're lucky because we're not looking at it within the context of the Marvel universe because people will look at this and go, yeah, I've seen people say this is a great standalone Marvel movie. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But as a movie on its own, does it work?
No, and also it does, I totally disagree. I really don't, especially when you have other films that definitely are so much better. I don't know why you would put this at your top tier. Mm. Like, and it's not about, again, as the casting, because Tom Holland was really good in Avengers. And so he's actually really well cast and actually probably the best cast Spider-Man that I've seen in a long time. Because he brings back the innocence that Tobey Maguire brought, which I think is so on point casting. It's just lazy. And actually, I think summer blockbuster is a really good connection to make. Because it is that. It's like, it's the summer, everyone's having fun, and this sounds like an 80s music video. It's the summer.
Wearing your flares.
Everyone is having fun.
I've just come from a jazzercise class.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a bit like, yeah, anyway, there you go.
I've got my massive bucket of butter and popcorn.
Talking about buckets and popcorns, have you ever seen John Carpenter's They Live?
No.
Okay, it's a very relevant thing today, which shares some themes with Network. But essentially, I went to see recently to the Prince Charles Cinema to see Jaws and The Master. Yeah. And they have very nice popcorn buckets, which you can see in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's where you got it.
Yes, one is like, do not talk during the film. And the other side is, don't use the mobile phone. So I may take that with me when I go to Cineworld and use it, show it to people behind. And
Yeah, I love the consume as well. It's kind of satirical and fun.
Ever think we'll get to a point in cinemas where there'll be the back row is called the phone row? Where, it's acceptable to use your phones in the back row of the cinema because nobody can see it.
That's interesting.
And,
how it used to be the sex row.
Back corner, yeah.
I mean...
Oh, my God. Do you reckon that still happens?
I'm sure it does.
Oh, God. That's grim.
No, but, I mean, I was looking for some place to go see this film, actually, Spider-Man. Far From Home, and I was in Leicester Square, and I looked at Odeon Lux, the one that recently was refurbished, and the recliner seats, it's like £47.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, so as I said in WhatsApp or something, I guess for those kinds of prices, they must have a guard at the inside that everyone, if someone is using the phone too close to the start of the movie, they must come, because I don't see, £47?
Yeah. Even in London, you can do the Electric Light Cinema, which is a fantastic cinema. There's two of them. There's one in Soho and there's one in Shoreditch. We went to the one in Shoreditch to see Goodfellas on the week. Shoreditch.
There you go.
There we go.
That's where I stayed the last two times. So, yeah.
It's so nice.
Great wide cinemas, comfy seats.
Nice.
Bar service. And it's £20 each.
And you have lots of space and you can get a drink and food and
a bit like Everyman, a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
Grosvenor, yeah. If you're in...
Grosvenor Caff and sort of thing. Yeah.
Glasgow.
That's true. But I'm losing the will to live with phones. That was the thing in Spider-Man. Because it's a Marvel movie, you get everybody and their mum goes and sees it. And some people just aren't bothered.
On full brightness as well. Come on.
Get a grip.
It's so disrespectful. Even if this film was standard, it it takes ages to make and so much blood, sweat and tears. And just have some respect for also the people that made the film and also the people that are there watching it. Honestly, if you don't... This is why, people that are involved in film just don't get the respect they deserve, because people just are on their phones while they watch a film and then they think that they have the right to have an opinion on the film. It doesn't work like that.
That may be happening a lot with the Avengers Endgame re-release, because the new footage is at the end.
Oh, that, Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
That'll be an experience. I don't think I could do it. I'd lose. Not the film. Just if people are on their phones, it's just... It is annoying. It's just ridiculous.
So this was the last film of Phase 3. So let's just talk about the MCU box. We won't do a series of all the MCU movies in 1 month, but let's pick right now what will be the next MCU movie we'll talk about. And for this, we'll need an innocent hand.
Oh, joy.
Oh, just no.
Just when I thought we were done with the MCU.
I know, I'm very nervous now.
A nuke?
Oh, please be one we've already done so we don't have to do it soon.
If it's Homecoming, we'll just discard it.
Do another From Home.
Oh, God. What is it?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay.
Which one? The first one.
The first one. I've put the numbers when needed.
MCU 10.
Yeah,
I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
Haven't seen it.
I actually love it. No. So I'm happy with that. So that should I put this here?
So that'll come at some point.
Cool. Where do we go from here? John Maxvale's first feature is now on Prime UK.
Okay, oh, cool. Yeah.
So if we wanted to have him on at some point, now we could actually talk about Anna and his first feature, which was both equally excellent. So
yes, definitely. Definitely, let's watch that.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
So we were.
Adam.
Anouk.
And Jan. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.